Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Our first podcast is finally happening.
After years, literal.
Literally, like seriously, it took 5, maybe 6, 7 years to finally happen, but we're here. We're here. We made it. It's good. It's good. I've been really looking forward to this conversation, darling. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh.
I really have. I've just been like thinking about like what can, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about that. But the first things first, how you doing, boo? What's up? How you living? Boom.
I'm good. I'll do a quick intro of myself. My name is Rosie. I am a former singer-songwriter, but always a songwriter at heart. I lived in Los Angeles. I met Tamika when I lived in Miami, actually. And we reconnected when she moved to LA. And I have since relocated to the East Coast once again. So it's always great conversation with her. We always get super deep and we're always going through like similar things in life.
Oh my God. Always, 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 always. And thank you for the introduction. It's good to just have a little bit of just like a little background information how we met. I know, if anybody does listen to this podcast, it's been years since I've done this, but I use this podcast as kind of like an outlet to just, communicate more, to really just, talk about things that I feel like are very important that we kind of touch on it, but then it's kind of not really touched on. So I kind of want to use this platform to really talk about things that just mean a lot to me, that's always in my mind. And so if anybody who is listening and you're just like, damn, it's been a hot minute, it has been a hot minute. And what have I been up to? I still live in Los Angeles. I'm born and raised in Miami, you guys, and I've just been really still doing artistry, but not being as, what's the word, stressed about it the way I used to, which is something that we're going to talk about. So there's going to be new music 2024, which I can't wait, but I'm really just enjoying just putting out music, and I'm not really like focused on like, I mean, of course I want to make money for my music, but I'm kind of just wanting to just enjoy the process. And if you guys don't know, I still ha I have my Tayomi tea and treats, my tea business that I'm still doing. We'll have more information about that. But I really want to get into knee deep into this convo, darling. Yeah. Okay. I don't even know where to begin. I like literally have my notes in front of me.
Oh yes, pull up the notes.
Yes, I just have to. So then the first thing I kind of just wanted to really like talk about, I know the when we were catching up, we were talking about pretty much like, we both work, we're both creatives at heart, but we still need to make money. We have bills to pay, and inflating is inflating for real. And so we both have a 9 to 5, and we're just talking about the I guess the negative and positives to that. So let's talk about just pursuing, let's still pursuing, pr ugh, what am I trying to say? Still pursuing a creative journey, whether it is songwriting, artistry, whatever it is, holding down a 9 to 5. How has that been for you?
So for me, I've been in my current role for about almost 3 years now, which is good. I think this is probably one outside of my one job I had in LA at a nonprofit. This is probably the longest I've been with a company. I don't know if that's good or bad, but when you're younger, you're not thinking, especially when you're pursuing a, maybe a career as an artist. You're not necessarily as focused on your professional career or the career that's like bringing in money and helping you pay bills. So I think that was one reason I kind of, I did work semi full time in my nonprofit role. And then, I also did makeup because I when I moved to LA, I went to makeup school. So I did like some behind the scenes things. I did graphic design because that's what my degree was in. I did lift,
I remember
a
that.
While,
yeah.
For a couple of years, like just part time on the weekend. What else did I? We also did Handy.
Oh my
God. That was very short lived because we are not about that Handy life.
Wait, for people who don't know about Handy, you got to tell them what's, I forgot about Handy. Oh my God.
The trauma.
Like, okay. So pretty much Handy, for anybody who's listening, is pretty much just a cleaning service. And so it's based on an app, and you just kind of like collect, kind of not collect, but you book customers through this app called Handy, and you go to their house and you clean their house. And I was doing it I think for 2 months, 3 months. I made okay money, but it was definitely a humbling job.
Yeah,
it was a very humbling job. And I remember I got a lot of my cleaning products from Dollar Tree, and I would like, there are houses that I would clean. Like, I remember that I would never forget this one house. They were a hoarder.
Oh, no.
Believe it or not, there was feces on their carpet, and I needed the money. I really did. And so I'm just like, here I am with a college degree, and I am sweeping doo-doo off the carpet. Like, it was dog doo-doo. It was not human doo-doo, but it was still, it was a very humbling job. So, yeah. How long did you last with Handy?
I think I only did maybe like two or three jobs. I think there was one job at a really nice apartment in Pahanga, somewhere in NoHo. And it was a beautiful apartment, and the girl was just living in like, not squalor, but the kitchen and the restrooms were like filthy. And I'm like, how are you? No judgment to people, but I just like,
of course not.
I understand people, like, there's different things that people go through,
mental
health and like time. And I get it, but I was just like, this is not for me. And the thing is, like, I actually wouldn't mind, like, if I had my own cleaning service, because then I could charge the rates that I wanted to.
Yes.
But it's like, through the app, you're basically getting like a smaller percentage of
what
you should be getting paid. So,
and also you don't know what kind of house you're going to. At least if you had your own cleaning service, you could kind of cater it to high end customers who already have like the nice houses. But like, I was going to houses, I remember, like, there was this other house I was going to. He was, you could tell, I mean, they are going through things, so I didn't want to be too harsh, but he was depressed, and his house was really dirty. It was disgusting. And I think it was like a 4-hour job, and he wanted me to stay longer because I cleaned his house so well. But then I only made $30.
Wow.
For a 4-hour cleaning. But you know, I needed the money. But yeah. But shout out to cleaning services. But yeah, Handy was definitely one to remember.
Yes, definitely like, an experience.
So you can basically, with you, you definitely had you've had a lot of side hustles and a lot of jobs, and to kind of just keep a roof over your head. I think one of the things that I appreciate about our conversation was we're both, even if you're not, you know, pursuing artistry or anything, I still look at you as an artist, even if you're just pursuing it just with songwriting. But why did we feel like this was it, like, there's only a plan A? I'm only doing music, and no matter what. And like, why did we kind of like succumb ourselves to the struggle? I think
when I look at, like, you know, what people have, information that people have access to now, if an app like TikTok or even Instagram was around when I was pursuing my artistry, I think I could have possibly had more success, because you have more access to the world, basically.
That's true.
And so I think a lot of, we kind of were like in between the starving artist era and the working artist era.
Yes.
So, you know, we learned as we grew as people, as artists, and you know, we did the best that we could. But I think lack of access to information, if no one is telling you, hey, you don't have to do music, you don't have to pursue music this way, here's an alternate way. Like, if I really understood what music licensing was earlier on in my career,
right,
I would have probably pursued that more than just, oh, I want to make music and put my own music out.
Oh my god,
like, you take all of these songs here, licensing agent, take these songs and find a place for them.
And oh my goodness, if I could look back now, I probably would have, like, you know, maybe pursued songwriting or, like, just like you said, like, music licensing. And then, because there's so many people I look at, Victoria Monet, like, she started, I think, as she was in a girl group, but then she realized, okay, this is not really the move. And so she moved to LA and then she pursued songwriting. She wrote songs for Ariana Grande, as we all know. And then she took what she learned from that experience and everything. So now she's the Victoria Monet that we all know.
And but now she's nominated for 7 Grammys.
For 7 Grammys. Yeah. So I feel like, for example, I look at the music journey and, like, going for our passion as somebody who, for example, I'm gonna say this, like, my cousin, I have a cousin, she always knew she wanted to be a nurse. She always knew that this was her passion. She's, you know, she knew that this is the steps that she had to take. She knew her purpose was to care for people through the nursing career. And so I kind of, back in the day, and I kind of had to ask myself, why did I kind of, like, succumb to the struggle of the going towards artistry, pursuing artistry? And I kind of equated to, I, like, when people say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I knew that back in the day, I wanted to be a doctor, but then I went to college. I realized, okay, that's not for me. And I knew that I wanted to be an artist. I didn't have no confusion about that. I knew that was my passion. I knew this. I felt like at the time, I knew the steps. Like, so, okay, I got to put myself out there, do talent shows. I need to do this. I need to do that. And so I feel like 20-something-year-old me was kind of like, if my cousin, who has a passion for nursing, and she did the steps to become a nurse, and she's a nurse now, what's the difference between me, who is like, I know what I want, I'm doing what I have to do, I'm in the studio, I'm writing songs, and the only difference is I'm not, you know, as a nurse, I guess you are technically still clocking in and out, whereas being an artist, you're not really necessarily clocking in, but my workload and my passion and how I'm willing to get there, I always felt like, why was that such, what's the difference? Like, when people say, do you know what you want to be when you grow up? Like, I was never hesitant. I want to be an artist. I want to sing. Yeah.
I understand that. I think there are so many different reasons why artistry is such a difficult thing to pursue. One, because it can be very lucrative. And I think... when you think of, okay, nursing, yes, you kind of have a set path. Maybe you want to be like a specialty nurse, pediatric, I don't know, whatever other types of nurses there are, travel nursing even. But there's a set path and there's like a method that you go through. With music, for such a long time, it's been, you know, controlled by a few people. And in order to reach, you know, major success, or at least to sustain your livelihood, you have to have access to some capital. One, like, you can't, unless you know, it's like a fluke and you blow up on some social media platform. Cool. But you need access to capital, and you need access to the right people, and you need to have the right sound. And the right sound is, you know, subjective to the time, to what's popular, to what people are listening to. So I think there's a lot of variables that come into play as a creative pursuing a career.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I highly feel that, because I was thinking, like, in preparing for this episode, I was just like, I've had, well, let me say this, I've turned down jobs because it didn't fit my music schedule. So I remember I was in Tampa. I lived in Tampa for 9 years, and I was working at this this group home for children and also teenagers who dealt with like mental illness and stuff like that. And it was a cool job. And then I decided to move back home to Miami, and I was very grateful because they had the same organization in Miami, so I was able to transfer my job. I always think to myself, if I stayed at that job, would I have had struggled so much financially if I had just stayed? Because in my mindset at that time was, first of all, you know, I didn't, I'm gonna be honest, I didn't like the job. And I really felt like I already knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be an artist, you know, but I always think like, man, if I wonder if I stayed, all the stuff that we talked about in our past conversation about 401ks, about investments and stocks and, you know, ways to make money. I always think to myself, like, damn, if I had stayed at that job, rack my coins up, really like get stacks on stacks on stacks, I could have poured more into my artistry and I would have been able to do more things. But then at the same time, you operate from what you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what I knew at that time was, this is taken away from my artistry. I want to be an artist. And I watched this financial advisor. His name is Ramit Sethi. I said his name right. He has like this show on Netflix about, I'm going to teach you how to be rich.
Oh yeah.
But it's a very, I really enjoyed that series. And I ended up following him on YouTube and Instagram, and I really like his way of teaching about money and stuff like that. And then he said that a lot of people, and I felt like he was talking to me. I was like, oh shit. Like, you know, I felt like he was talking like old Tamika. And he was like, a lot of people who are creatives, we are believers.
Yeah.
We believe that success is one, like one mile away or something like that. Mm-hmm. So then we sacrifice all these things that can really uproot us financially, but we're just believing in that success. And I was like, we're believing in that goal and that dream and things like that. So I was just like, damn, I fall into that. Well, I used to fall into that, you know, and it really has, I guess, been, it's been a struggle. But at the same time, I don't want to make it seem like my music journey has been like all bad, because there has been blessings and fun stuff about it. But if I can look back and I look at like, damn, there's been jobs that I turned down. There's certain jobs that I would only get just so that it's not hindering my music journey.
Yeah. And that's understandable, because the thing about a 9-to-5, especially if you aren't passionate about it, is that it's meant to make you a zombie. Like, you can't convince me of anything else, because it's soul sucking is what it is. It really is. And that's why so many people, you know, they're like, yeah, I got this job and I don't have any energy to do anything else. And so many people are going through that right now.
Oh my god.
It's like, and even myself, because I'm looking to grow in my role and I'm not seeing the growth that I want. So I'm looking for a new role. And at the end of my work day, I don't want to think about work. I don't want to think about anything else. I just want to decompress. I go on my little 2-hour walk and, you know, I decompress after work. But it's really just kind of soul sucking if it's not something that you're passionate about, and especially if it's a role where, you know, inflation is inflating and you're not making a good amount of money to sustain a livelihood. Like, it just sucks the life out of you. So I understand not getting specific jobs and only doing certain things so that you can, you know, you gotta go to the studio or you gotta, you know, do a performance, you gotta, you know, book. I get that. And I think a lot of artists look at it that way, but I think people are learning, like I said, through access to social media and YouTube and things like that. Yeah. There's so many different ways to be an artist or to pursue artistry now. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. And I like what you said, especially when it comes to exposure, because I can only imagine, like, if we had TikTok when we were pursuing music, like, I would think maybe we, I don't know, but I'm just thinking that maybe we would have had some kind of success from the things that, you know, we've done in the past, because I'm thinking about all the shows that I've done when I was in Miami and when I was in Tampa, and I was just like, there wasn't any Instagram, there wasn't a TikTok or Twitter where I could kind of, like, let people through the journey. We did have YouTube at the time, but I feel like where it's at now, people weren't thinking about social media marketing the way people are. Just people weren't thinking about that, because we didn't have access to it. That's what I'm pretty much trying to say. Yeah. But I guess also the biggest thing that in preparing for this episode was, why did we feel we had to struggle? And I say this, and I'm gonna have you answer, but I say this because I had, like, a real ass talk with my homegirl. Like, this was, I think, a year and a half ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so at the time, I decided to go back to school for digital marketing, because I was just like, something gotta give, like, what's going on? And then she said this to me, and it's been like ringing in my ears ever since she said this. She said, "Tamika, I know that you want to do your artistry. I know you want to do this. I know you want to do that, but you don't have to struggle." Mm-hmm. And even though, like, I feel like people have said this to me, it's something about the way she said it that was just like, I don't know. It was the way she said it. It was the way her tone was. Shout out to Milo, if she's listening to this, but it's the way she said it. That was kind of like, yeah, it was kind of like that. Like, I always knew this, but I was like, why am I struggling? Like, why am I struggling? So, like, I will say this. So, like, why did we feel like we had to struggle? Because we felt like this was the only way. If I'm not an artist, you know, but like, why? But why? I almost want to feel like I want to go, like, unpack it. So I want to ask you, why did you feel that you, I guess, you had to struggle? Or is it just me who's thinking this?
No, not at all. I think the reason, I think a lot of us, like, going back to believe we have to struggle, is because, you know, behind every great artist, or most great artists, like, minus Beyonce, because I don't feel like she really struggled, but she might have had her own.
Yeah,
behind the scenes, I'm sure. Growing up in the spotlight,
she was always doing what she loves.
So. Yes, I think there's sort of like, there's always a story in the struggle. Like, if you think about great, like, rock musicians, or just great musicians in general, most of them come from, like, meager beginnings, very poor, abusive family, alcohol, drug abuse, one of 15 kids. Like, they all come from, like, this background where, you know, it's like the struggle creates the masterpiece or something like that. And so I think a lot of us maybe feel like if we don't struggle, then, like, it's we didn't really go through the trenches to get to the glory, you know?
That's true.
So I think there's a little bit of, like, a mental blockage in there. And like I said, we didn't know what we didn't know. Like, no one in my family was in the entertainment industry. So how would I know, other than if I picked up a book or did some research online or something? But even that, like, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about, let's write and sing and record these songs and perform, because that's what I wanted to do at the time. So I just think, like, a lot of us back in the day, maybe not so much now, didn't have access. We weren't educated about it. And we thought, like, there was something to prove, you know, while we're going through the struggle.
And I feel too, like, going back to the thing that the financial advisor, Ramin, I remember he said something like, oh shit, I just had the biggest brain fart. It was good too. I need to start taking my vitamins. But it was so good. I just had the biggest brain fart. What did he say? We were talking about, what was the last thing you said?
I said, going back to him saying that we, you know, believe. Mm-hmm. A lot of us believe.
Yeah, that's what it, okay, that's, yeah. That's what I want to say. Like, okay, Holly, take your vitamins, Tamika. So, I remember when I was like pursuing my artistry, especially in Miami, I would always go to these open mics, and I always have the back in the back of my head that there's somebody that's going to discover me, mm-hmm. and they're going to take me far, and I'm going to get signed, and then this and that, and then I have my music career, because you hear these things that happen, like you see how Jill Scott got someone saw her at a museum. She was mm-hmm. singing and she got discovered at a museum. And so in my mind, when I would go to these open mics, I'll be like, all right, maybe this might be the night that somebody is going to discover me. And then it kind of goes to what Ramit was saying about, like, we're just like these big believers. And so now when I go to an open mic, like, I'm just enjoying to be there, like, yeah. I'm just enjoying the artist, like, mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about, like, oh my god, this is the night, you know, but it's just like, wow, I'm thinking about, like, every time I would have a show or I go to an open mic, I would really always think that probably this was the night that I might be discovered, because, you know, I was pushing for it. I mean, there have been many moments of just, like, strained relationship with, you know, especially my dad, because I would be out every night, but I'll be out going to these, like, jam sessions, these open mics and things like that, so that I can get quote unquote discovered. So,
yeah, I, that makes total sense to me. I mean, there's an underlying, because of, like, how throughout the, I don't know, 70s, 80s, 90s, mm-hmm. how artists were discovered.
Yeah.
Like, I think we also have to remember that PR, public relations, is a thing, and not everything that we hear is necessarily the truth. But you don't know that until you've been through the trenches.
Exactly.
mm-hmm. So I feel like mm-hmm. a lot of, not saying that mm-hmm. everyone's story is, like, mm-hmm. made up, but a lot of the stories that we heard about somebody being discovered, yeah, they were discovered because mm-hmm. we didn't mm-hmm. have the internet. So people had to go out for entertainment. Mm-hmm. Like, you weren't sitting at home, like, oh, let me go on YouTube and see who's a new artist, or something, right? So you, like, you know,
that's so true.
People from labels had to go out to see, like, who's, you know, performing at this club, or let me go to this hole in the wall and see mm-hmm, what's happening. Mm-hmm. And they weren't necessarily looking. There may have just been somebody, like, doing an open night, and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, who's that? Oh, want to learn a little bit more about that person. Exactly. So I think we have to think about, like, what the time that we grew, like, as that artists, we were artists in, like, the 2000s, 2010s,
you know? That's true.
I think we have to remember that a lot of people who mm-hmm. are, who have major success as artists are also, like, they're either connected to people in the mm-hmm. industry or connected to a relative of someone in the industry. And we don't that's necessarily think
so
about that a lot of the time.
So true. Like, I think about Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about Beyonce, like, her dad managed her and her mom was doing, you know, her wardrobe and everything. So yeah.
And that, you know, that's another thing. We were pursuing artistry alone. We were pursuing artistry alone.
Oh yeah, that's
we
so
didn't
true.
Have
yeah.
a team. We didn't have family. We had friends and we had other, like, you know, mm-hmm. artists that we were working with. But mm-hmm. we were doing it alone, mm-hmm. and it's difficult.
Oh yes, it is. It's very, very, very difficult.
It's hard when you're doing it alone. Have someone to create wardrobe or manage or go out looking for opportunities. Everything we did we do it ourselves.
We were operating from what we knew. Like, I didn't know about I ain't gonna lie, I didn't know about publishing and master owning your master owning your master's at the time. I didn't know nothing about that. I will say shit got real for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of moments where shit got real for me when I realized, okay, I'm not making no money from music. I've had a lot of moments from that. But I think one situation that really stands out to me was 2020 pandemic. And I always feel like, I don't know, I always feel like the pandemic, as much as it was very hard for a lot of people and myself, I feel like it needed to happen to me. I felt like I needed that space to kind of like sit down and really, really sit down with like my thoughts and my career goals and everything like that, personal shit and all that, everything. And then I, at the time, I decided to release one of my favorite projects, Skin, during the pandemic. And I did it, and I was just like, why not? Whatever. And it actually was going really good. I pushed my ass so hard on the marketing, reaching out to like big companies to see if I could like have if I could get like sync deals and all this stuff. I did so much. And mind you, this is still a pandemic. I didn't have a job at the time. I wasn't on unemployment. There was no stimulus check, none of that. So I remember I got an email saying that I got my royalty check from Skin. So you can only imagine how I'm feeling. Mind you, I'm trying to paint the picture to anyone who is listening. It's the pandemic. Okay, like places are closing, like shit is, I mean, like we had a curfew here in LA. Shit was real. Okay, and I opened up my email. It was $12, and when I saw that, and when I say shit got real, because I realized in that real ass moment that my music, something that I love, that is just so much a part of me, is not financially securing me. And especially at the time, we didn't know how long the pandemic was going to be. And at the time too, LA, I mean, like I said, we were on curfews. There were so many stores that were closing down. If you were going to go to the grocery store, it was a hassle. You had to stand in line and shit. It was just like, we were all going through shit, you know what I'm saying? And to not have a secure savings account and all this stuff, and you only get $12 from all the work that I did with Skin, and $12 for a royalty check. I can't even have like a day's worth of groceries. And then that's when I was just like, okay. Then I took a class, and that's when I think the stimulus check came and everything like that. So I used some of that money to like take a class about syncing and licensing and learning all that stuff. And it was I'm glad that I did it, but it was still stressful because I realized I did a lot of paperwork wrong, a lot of shit wrong. And I realized I'm not gonna front at that moment. And we're gonna touch on this too. I didn't know if I wanted to do mu I didn't know if I wanted to be in the music industry anymore. I knew I would always do music because it's just a part of me, but burnt out, I was so damn burnt out. And I know you can relate to this because I want to hear your story. You were on a TV show, a music show. What was it called again?
I was on
The
a show for songwriters called Songland.
Songland, yeah. And then I was on The Voice. And then I remember when I was on The Voice, like I think 2002, 2018, 2019. And I remember, and then the pandemic happened, and then I was just like, oh shit, I'm burnt out. It was like, so I want to know what was your experience, because you won your show. So how was your experience with Songland?
So, I mean, overall, I had a great experience. I don't have anything negative to say about the show itself, but I think expectation, like what I expected from the show, and I think there's a few different reasons why. Just completely just demolished and just like kind of threw my faith in the music industry in the trash.
Oh, damn.
just, and like you said, the industry itself, I don't want to be a part of. But music, yes. Performing, yes. Mm-hmm. Always. But the industry itself, the business of music, I have no desire to have anything to do with it.
Okay, so let's unpack that part. Like, what was that moment? Just like I had that moment with Skin, and I had that $12 royalty check. What was that moment what was that moment for you? Like, when you're, what was that, I guess, aha moment where you're like, okay.
So there were a few different moments, but I came out to LA to film the show. Came back here to the DC area where I'm living. And the show came out, did a press run, which was really fun, really great. I got to go to Good Day DC. I went home to St. Croix to do a small like press circuit. That was great. But I think one, like I said, we're doing this on our own. And as much as I could reach out, you know, and get people to help me, I tried. But it was always something like, I can do this or do it half-assed. Like, that's great, you're on the show, okay, what's next? Well, okay, obviously working on more music. And I had released my one EP right after the episode aired. That's when I released it. So it's just like disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And then, of course, I will say this, like, relative to what you said about getting your royalty check, when I think the next quarter, when I got my royalty check from the show, well, from all of my music, including the show, it was like $30.
Wow.
And it was one because there, you know, all of the producers on the show, myself, my two co-writers, the artist from the episode, Miss Lewis, and then Kali Idandi, who are the featured artists on the song, and the three producers, the three singer-songwriter producers on the show, everyone got a piece of the song. So, and a producer, yes, my producer. But yeah, it's just like all of that for $30, like, and the thing is, the song had like, I don't remember if it had reached to 1 million streams yet, but like it wasn't a small amount of streams. So I was like, what is this? Like, who's gonna, I could maybe buy a day, 2 days worth of groceries, maybe barely, like, so I think that was really it for me. I just, and like you said, burnt out was not even the word. When I moved here, I swear I slept for like 3 months when I moved here to the DMV.
Are you serious?
I was so tired. Like, I lost 30 pounds, and not by like starving or anything. I was eating like plant-based, but wasn't doing any crazy workouts. I just let my body rest. And this was obviously during the pandemic. And my skin cleared up. Like, I had the worst acne when I lived in Los Angeles. Like, I was looking at some pictures the other day, and I like don't even recognize myself. But like the stress and the inflammation and the working, like, I was working my nonprofit job, I was driving Lyft, I was doing performances, I was nannying also.
So, like, I remember that too. A
combination of everything. Like, I could see it in my skin. And so I came here, I let my body rest, I wasn't working, and I just, you know, living a whole complete different life.
And how was that for you? Were you kind of like, did you miss the grind? Were you oh my God, thank God. Like, and how was that?
I think after a while, I did start gigging, which was really fun, because here in the DMV, they actually pay you. We're not going to talk about LA and how they just want you to play for free.
Wait a minute. I thought that was Miami, though. I'm like, I always thought that was a mind problem because here in LA, I'm not gonna lie, I get paid, you know, for my shows and stuff. But I always thought that was a high key Miami thing. Like they, like y'all don't, y'all ain't gonna pay.
No, no.
Okay.
Yeah, but I started gigging after a while, and that was fun until, you know, obviously the pandemic came and shut everything down. But that was where I got to, you know, that was my creative release. So I'm grateful for that. No, yeah. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the market is like. I haven't really been looking, but, mm-hmm. it was a very like reflective time for me. I just gave me the opportunity to just kind of live a normal, I guess, normal life.
Ooh, because
I think that. I heard somebody, I think it was a TikTok that someone made, and they're like, mm-hmm. people in mm-hmm. California are living a completely mm-hmm. different life to the rest of the United States. And you really wow. are. Oh. It really, really, really are.
Yeah, like,
you can't understand it unless you've lived in mm-hmm. California, specifically yes. in Los Angeles or the Bay.
I want to stay there because that normal life, I literally put like an asterisk on my notes because I want to talk about that a little more because I don't know why I'm laughing, but it's just so, I relate to it so much because I remember during the pandemic, like I'm painting the picture again for anybody who's listening. I have my $12 royalty check. Okay. money is, I mean, my bank account is pretty much not doing well. And then so I started thinking about things that I have not thought about. Like my life has always been like, you know, I would date here and there, kind of, you know what I'm saying? I would entertain the thought of motherhood, but you know, but for me, I was laser focused on music to the point where like a lot of my friends were like married, children, things like that. And I was just like, that's nice. That's cute. But I'm like so laser focused. And then so the pandemic really forced me to sit my ass down and think about other things, about a normal life that doesn't have, that's not about the grind. And then I started thinking about like, besides music, Tamika, what else do you want? And I was just like, I want to be a mom. I actually want to be a mother. And I was like, this is new. Who am I? And then I was just like, oh shit, I want to get married. Oh, wait a minute. I was like, how? It was like this, like me, like putting a mirror in front of my face and be like, you, what you want to do, girl? You want to be a mom? And then like the mirror was like, yes, girl, Tamika, you want to be a mom. You wanna be married. You wanna have a home with a backyard. I was like, wait, hold up. And I never really put so much time and effort into those thoughts. I never really. And then at one point, I was like, you know, things were starting to be quote unquote normal in LA, where like they kind of lifted the curfew, and I was just like, wait a minute, I can go to an open mic and not have to think about the grind. I can literally just enjoy myself and not think about like, is this going to be my next business move and this and that. I can have this normal life. So after the pandemic, I released Skin, but then I didn't release anything else, like because I'm just a creative. I was still in the studio, but I was like, I ain't gonna release anything. So then I was like, that year I was like, I'm gonna actually like live my life. So I was just like, I'm going to go on dates. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to like actually think about motherhood and shit. And I'm actually going to like look into that and actually embrace that shit and this and that. And so I had a really good time. And then at one point I was like, I'm going to start looking into traveling, but not just traveling because of music. I'm going to travel because I want to. Yeah. I'm going to like, and it was just like, why, I guess, the normal life, quote unquote, versus the grind life. Why did we kind of like tuck that normal life under the rug, you know, for the sake of the grind, for the sake of purpose?
I think I think when you're laser focused on something, it's like you have tunnel vision and you can't see anything else.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I was, maybe you were, for a long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it took me deciding to leave Los Angeles for me to find it. Thank God you were able to find it through the pandemic. It was around the same time for me. And just trying to figure out who I was outside of music. Like, I have a friend who's basically he's going through the same thing right now. And it took him, he left here, the DMV, and he moved to the Bay Area. This is the first time he's lived outside of Virginia. And he's just like, he's like, I understand why or how you don't feel so, not connected to music, but why I don't feel like I have to go so hard for it anymore. Mm-hmm. He's like, I understand now because I'm figuring out who I am. Like, all he focused on for like 10 years was music.
Like, yeah.
Who are you outside of music? And that's something I'm still discovering.
No, me too. I will say that as well. Me too. You know, this is the first time that, like, you know, I'm dating someone who's absolutely amazing. And like, not being so like focused on music all the time, mm-hmm. and actually like enjoying myself as, you know,
a human being.
I mean, why does that make me laugh? Like, I'm enjoying, like, when it's time for me to cook, like, I'm not just cooking for myself. Like, you know, I love the fact that I'm able to like cook for him, and then, you know, also, you know, go out with friends and do this without thinking about like the grind of the music. Now, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, because music is already in me, it's in my veins, you know, I can be in freaking Bali and my mind will always think about where's the nearest live performance I can go to, because it's just in me. I love music. But it's just like, I get it. Like, I just had this conversation with one of my friends. She called me because I did a show for this collective called Haitian Spotlight LA. And I would say that's probably one of the best shows that I've had. Like, I even watched it and I was like, damn, you know, Tamika, you did your thing, period. And then so, you know, she called me and she was giving me my flowers. And she's like, Tamika, you got to do this. You got to do that. And then I was listening on the conversation and everything she said, I'm like, I'm already doing that. I already have done. But I think, and after I hung up, I was like, why am I not like, oh my gosh, she's right. Oh my goodness, let me make a marketing plan. I literally was like, I received everything she was saying, but then I took a shower and I told myself, and I was telling myself, like, why am I like, and I was like, it's because I told myself, I'm living in the moment. Like, I'm so proud of myself for doing that performance and doing that show and, you know, doing the damn thing, but I'm not going to hinder that beautiful moment of a to-do list.
You
know what I'm saying? Like, I know those things need to happen. Yes, I know I need to market myself more. Yes, I know I gotta do that. Yeah, all these things. But I really, really, really want consistent pay. It's so important, especially at our age.
Yes.
I also want to just not overwhelm myself, because that pandemic, when I really realized that I don't know if I wanted to be in the music industry anymore, it made me so sad, sis. Like, I remember crying at night, like, because it was so weird. Like, that's all I knew. I knew was the grind. And I was just like, I don't know what else to do. Like, wait, should I date or should I grind? Or the weirdest. Should I go? It was the weirdest thing. And it's like, but it's real. Like, if you're like, if you've been on the grind like forever, the idea of a normal life is like, but I know this life, but now I'm just like, hashtag soft life.
Girl, my TikTok name is This Soft Life.
Because, hashtag soft
life. Listen.
I don't want to know.
I think about sometimes, you know, all of those side hustles and jobs that I mentioned, and I'm like, I cannot fathom even doing half of that stuff now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was just in tunnel vision mode, and that's really what, like, I was just hyper focused on one thing, and everything revolved around that one thing.
Yeah, but do you feel like it's kind of easy to get back into that life of the grind and things like that? Because I had to catch myself recently.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
It can be, absolutely.
Because, you know, like when we had our personal conversation, like, you know, I have my 9-to-5 job. I'm also an entrepreneur for my tea business. And I also, you know, I do some digital marketing. I'm helping one of my friends who has a nonprofit organization. Shout out to Traveling Give, and I'm helping their social media out. So I do still have side hustles, but at one point I was kind of like, I had to almost do like a self-reflection and be like, Tamika, am I doing too much again? Like, is this like, I had to do kind of like a self-check. And I said to myself, like, as long as you make a schedule that fits for you, like, don't be the yes girl, like, I'm gonna have to do all this.
Mm-hmm.
If it's okay, like, if you are not in the studio for a couple months, that doesn't take away your artistry. That means that right now your focus is on somewhere else so that you can pour more into your artistry. So I sometimes have to give myself those pep talks because I find it so easy to kind of like revert back to that, like, I gotta work. Like, now I'm to the point, like, it happened recently. It was like 1 something in the morning and I'm here in front of the computer like, I gotta make this fire. I gotta do this. I was like, Tamika, take your ass to bed. Like, girl, like, go to sleep. So, you know, it's just, but for me, I'm realizing that, oh shit, because I have such a strong desire to accomplish my goals and make this money and do all this stuff and all, I have a tendency to kind of like revert back into that, like, work. And then there's, you know, and I don't want to do that shit no more. I want to work smarter, not harder.
Amen to that. Working smart. I think one thing I'm learning about is just outsourcing. And I mentioned this to you before, outsourcing. I said, my name is This Soft Life. We are not hustling and bustling for nobody. Unless it's maybe 7 figures. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
But no, outsourcing, I think, as creatives and as people who, you know, are entrepreneurs and who have a lot going on, finding other people to do things that may, simple things that take unnecessary time from you is one of the best ways to just use your time or save your time, I would say.
Yeah. No, I feel that. And another thing too, I just wanted to add into like my awakening during the pandemic is, you know, I realize the beauty of multiple streams of income.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want my children not to struggle. And so one of the main reasons, I guess, the top two reasons why I started Tangyomi Tea and Treats, my tea business, is because of that. I realized that when I saw that $12 check, I was just like, $12? And I was like, what if I pretty much start a business that I'm very passionate about? It's also, you know, tea. And I remember doing research on how, like, a tea business is very lucrative and it doesn't really take that much of your time. And I was like, I've always wanted to do this. And I was like, but I also want to build generational wealth. I don't want my kids to struggle. I don't want to struggle anymore. I want to have something, a foundation where, like, because music is always, is very willy-nilly. And I had a conversation today.
Mm-hmm.
The music industry is changing and it's changing not to benefit the artist. I just saw that on Instagram that, like, what Taylor Swift did, she, like, re-recorded her music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she made $1.3 million. And now a lot of record labels are stopping that because they're seeing that she made so much damn money. So now it's coming to a point where, from what I'm seeing, there is an advantage if you stay independent.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm also realizing that you have to have something else that is just more secure. And I look at to me, the biggest, best example to me is my homegirl, Rihanna. can we clap it up for Rihanna?
Yes, ma'am.
Let me tell you what Rihanna did, okay? She took her love for fashion and makeup and to the point where it's a $1 billion company. This woman does not have to do music. Mm-hmm. Her money doesn't have to come from music. If she does, like what she did on the Super Bowl, and she wants to put an album out, to this point, it's just fun.
Yes.
And I think to me, seeing what Rihanna has done out, that's one of the reasons why I started Taomi. One of the biggest reasons why I started Taomi. Like, obviously, Rihanna has a team. Obviously, you know, she already had money. But to me, she's one of the best examples of doing something outside of music and then making more money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think there's, you know, my parents were both entrepreneurs. And I mm-hmm. think there's nothing like having something that's your own. It's hard. It's never going to be easy. And nobody is going to love your company, your business like you. But there's nothing like having something that's your own, that your family can benefit from in the future generations. So yes, I commend Riri as well.
Me too.
She said, I don't know about this music thing. Maybe I'll come. I think she's releasing an album next year.
I think she is. I think so.
So, and like I saw you something said,
And I think she might be going on tour. I don't know. You know, sometimes Instagram news is not always the truth. Mm-hmm. But whatever she's doing, whether it's a tour or another album, I'm here for it. And like, shit, she really did her thing with Fenty. I mean, she raised the bar on the beauty industry. And to the point where a lot of big name cosmetic brands were kind of like mocking her style. Like now they finally want to make
deep shades.
Yeah.
And there are still new companies that come out that don't have a good amount of shades. Like they still kind of teetering on the lighter side. Mm-hmm. but yeah, she set the bar. It's like, we're all inclusive over here. No shade left behind.
Literally no shade left behind. There's also kind of in the same vein, like a lot of times, I feel like a lot of people in the music industry don't talk about this. Retirement fund. Like, I feel like Rihanna, she's
retired at this point.
She really is. But my thing, I found a lot of musicians, a lot of people in the industry don't have basic health insurance, no life insurance, no retirement fund. A lot of people don't even have like at least a savings account or at least a CD account. Mm-mm. Why do you think that is?
Well, that this goes back again to being hyper focused. Also, I think a lot of people have moved to places like Los Angeles or New York, maybe even Miami, Atlanta, on a wish and a dream, and some Fritos. you're coming from a small town in the Midwest, and you've never been outside of your small town, and you're seeing, I don't know, your favorite artist, whatever genre, out there on whatever performance, or maybe you went to a few concerts in your city, in your major city, and you're like, I want to do that. I can do that. I'm talented. I have this amazing voice. Everyone tells me I'm so amazing. I'm moving to LA and I'm just speaking for people who come from like lower to middle class, because those are the people who are going to be thinking like that. I'm going to move. Maybe I save like $500. Mm-hmm, in 2023, that should probably be 5,000, maybe 10. But you're moving here in hopes of being discovered. Or maybe you have, if we were to talk about 2023, maybe you have like a small following online, like content creator or whatever. And you're like, oh, I'm moving to LA. It's going to be great. But you don't set plan beforehand. Nothing is guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed. So you're not thinking about, oh, I'm going to be saving for my 401k. I'm going to open an IRA. I'm going to need health insurance in case anything happens to me while I'm out here living, probably no family. No, you're not thinking about those things. And if you're young, you're definitely, if your parents have not educated you, and most people, most people probably aren't being educated on those things. So again, lack of information. To information.
Say that again.
Is just the downfall of a lot of artists, creators,
etc. Because I'm thinking, even when I decided to move to LA, I saved a good chunk of money to come here. But in my mind, I was, the money was going to go towards rent. The money was obviously going to go towards gas because I was going to have my car shipped here. I had my car shipped here. The money was going to go to, obviously, food. I didn't think about, okay, save for just in case something happens to you health-wise. I wasn't thinking about that shit. So to the point where something happened to me health-wise, like I have, now it's much better now, but I used to have like bad period cramps to the point where I like it would have to be like, okay, I'm down for the day. And in this particular cramp, I had to call 911, and you know, 911 came and everything, and you know, thank God I was still under my Florida insurance, but there was still a lot of out-of-pocket costs that I had to cover because it was the out-of-state insurance. But then in that moment, I had to pay because I saved it like around maybe like $8,000 to come to California. I used some of that money to pay for some of the bills. And then, so you can only imagine, you know, that $8,000 quickly turned into $8. So, you know, so I really feel like, you know, when people want to move here, sometimes they'll contact me like, what do I need to know? I said, if you want to move here,
you need a trust fund or you need a hefty savings.
And then I'm just like, and it kind of caters. And it kind of caters to your point, what you said about like people kind of like, you know, they kind of like, they honor the struggle. You know what I'm saying? And it's like a lot of people like, I came to LA with just $5.
That's exactly what I mean.
And I knew for sure when I moved here, I was like, I don't want that story. I want to be that person. I came here with $2. No, ma'am. I don't want that.
This is not 1987.
No. I knew I was not about that life. I don't want that shit. But even $8,000 was still not enough to, like, that thing went whoosh. Because of health situations. I was dealing with a crazy roommate at the time.
I remember.
It was just, you remember that? So that $8,000 went bye-bye very, very quickly. So to now, you know, I realized that before I can even think about like health insurance, life insurance, CD accounts and stuff like that, I had to have a real conversation about my relationship with money. And shout out to therapy. Me and my therapist, we would have like so many sessions about my overall relationship with money. And I realized how I spent was based on my relationship with money at the time. And, you know, tying in being an artist and money, I realized, especially with that, I will never forget that $12 skin royalty check. I realized, okay, I don't have enough. Music is not pouring into my health fund. My life insurance is not a retirement fund. So I really had to kind of just like think about like, how much do I want to put into a savings account? And even I'm still thinking about that now. I'm not going to even front, like, I don't say I'm not going to be one to say like I have a savings account, but I'm not going to be one to say like, oh my God, I have a 401k, or 401, what am I trying to say? I don't have, right now I'm working on my 401k. I'm also working on ways to save. I'm trying to like increase my travel fund. And this is where having a day job does help.
Yes,
I
absolutely.
will say that, because then at least, because if a job provides, sometimes they provide these benefits like a life insurance. They also provide like the 401ks and stuff like that. So that's where I see the benefit. But then outside of a job, you don't see a lot of artists that are talking about these things.
Yeah, you don't. You don't.
Yeah.
I think there's like a little bit of a stigma attached, especially when you live in LA. Because if it seems like, or maybe now, I don't know, maybe it's different, but like when I was in LA, it just felt like nobody here works. Like, where do you work? What? How you're here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? And this is me when I was like freelancing part time. I'm like, you don't work, so how do you, where you live? How you pay your bills? But like a lot of people either they come for money, so it seems like they don't work, or they're like couch surfing or something. It's like it's one extreme or the other. If you want the in between, you got to go to like the regular neighborhoods. But it's just very, it's all a facade, I feel like sometimes. And
I
not, there are
feel
absolutely amazing people in LA, because I met some
you.
amazing people in LA who work their butts off. But it's like you said, you know, there's honor in the struggle, and there's just an overall stigma that people have, like, oh, if you work a 9 to 5, you're not really serious about this music thing. Okay, well, who's gonna fund this music thing if I don't have any income coming in? I'm not a trust fund baby.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I remember having those conversations with a lot of people, like, so you just gonna get a 9 to 5? But I'm like, but they were
Are
having
you
conversations.
paying my bills? Are you buying my
Exactly. That's
groceries?
exactly.
I didn't
Like,
think
are
so.
you so shut up. And let me go ahead and apply on Indeed.com. Okay.
You're just gonna get a
So
9 to 5. That sounds so crazy. You're just gonna
just
get a 9 to 5. That's what people do.
yeah,
It's
I'm
okay.
learning. Yeah, and exactly. And I'm just, you know, I think for me, the overall lesson, just like my homegirl said, and whoever's listening to this, you don't have to struggle.
Yeah,
You don't
you
have to
don't.
struggle. If you are pursuing artistry, what are anything in the entertainment industry, whatever it is, it's okay to get the 9 to 5 job. It's fine. Go ahead and do it. And at least make it, at least if you are going to get a 9 to 5, at least like it. I will say that. You know what I'm
Yes,
saying? You
absolutely.
know, because the job that I have now, I actually really do enjoy it. But the jobs that I had during the summer, whoo, my God, OMG! I mean, it was that will have to be another episode. But like, coming home tired. I gained weight, breaking out. It was not good. I did not enjoy it. My back hurting. I didn't enjoy it. So like I said before, if anybody's listening to this, I'm gonna say what my homegirl said. You don't have to struggle. You really, 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 really don't.
Amen.
So let's just close it off. So like, what are things that you are working on? What are things? Oh, actually, better yet, what advice? Oh, okay, this is gonna be fun. So, what advice? Okay, this is gonna be a two-part question. Maybe what advice would you give somebody that is pursuing artistry and they are struggling right now?
Okay, I will say if you're pursuing artistry and you are struggling, start where you are. People don't realize how much, especially if you are outside of a major city. We have access to telephone, to the cell phone, we have access to social media. Start where you are. I don't care if you pick up the phone and just sing 30 seconds every day. Build your platform, build your brand where you are. I don't care if you got to go to the park and set
That's
the
true.
phone up on a tree and just
Yes.
hum, or beat on some drums or whatever. Because, you know, once you make the decision, especially to move to a major city, Los Angeles, New York, Atlanta. There's so many other elements that you have to think about. Just to survive. And you don't want to be in survival mode while you're trying to create.
No.
And another thing I would say is to understand that everything in this world will require some type of capital.
Yes.
Whether it's the rent that you have to pay to lay your head at night, or the grocery store, or the producer, or the engineer, whatever. Everything will require some type of income. We cannot, especially in this climate and in this economy, we cannot afford to just be willy-nilly and like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna move and everything's gonna work out fine.
Yeah. No.
Sometimes that happens, but not all the time. That's not everyone's story. Yeah. So be realistic about the world that you live in. Still have your faith. Still be optimistic, but also be realistic about what you're doing. There's so many things, but I would say those two.
What would you say to young Rosie, who was in LA pursuing her music, doing all these side hustles? What would you have told her?
Oof, girl, what the hell are you doing? No, I would, first of all, yes, I would say, girl, what are you doing? You're doing way too much. Like, you need to sit down somewhere. Because the thing is, like, it's hard to get, when you're, okay, yes, you're hyper-focused on one thing and you're doing all these other things, but so are you really focused on the one thing? Because your attention is being pulled in six different directions.
Yes.
So you think you're hyper-focused.
No, but you're not.
But you're really all over the place. Yes. Man, I would just tell myself to sit down and read more. Educate myself more. That's really...
Oh, I love that.
Any industry, anything you're doing or pursuing, sit down, read, watch some YouTube videos, suck up as much information as you can about that thing, about the business of that thing, about... Learn from people who have done it before you. And I know, like, you know, there wasn't a lot of information. There it was out there. YouTube was, you know, in existence. But my brother used to buy me music industry books. And I barely, like, scrolled through them, But now I understand why. Like, he's just a very forward thinking person. But he's probably bought me like six music industry books and like send them to me.
Wow.
But knowledge is your best friend. The more you know, the better you can navigate whatever industry you're pursuing.
That is so damn true. I'm actually gonna co-sign to what you said. If I could say that, you know, if I could talk to young Tamika, who was on the grind and just, you know, I would first give her props. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, you did your thing, girl. I see you. but I would definitely read more. Oh my God, I would. Not only just books about the entertainment and the music business. I would just read more also about how to be better with my money.
I would definitely, and
it's not too late. I can still do it, you know what I'm saying? So
yes.
But I would say the biggest thing I would tell young Tamika is you don't have to struggle. And I would tell her, I know you don't like this job. Stay your ass at this job until you find another job, and then learn how to budget, learn how to save, so that when I am in the studio and when I am doing things that require money and when it comes to the music, I'm not struggling because I already have the money to do it.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say that to her. And I would definitely tell young Tamika, that, well, I don't know. Every time I ask myself this question, I always just want to give young Tamika
A big hug.
a hug.
Yep.
I don't know, like it
Yeah.
also every time I think about that, it kind of high key makes me a little emotional because I can see young Tamika tossing and turning at night, wondering when she's gonna be discovered, why her bank account is with negative balance, the fact that she quit this job for the sake of the music industry. And all I just want to do is I want to give pour this advice into her, like read more, et cetera, et cetera. But I really just want to hug her,
Yeah.
Timmy. I just felt like there's so many moments young Tamika just needed a hug, and somebody to tell her you don't have to struggle. Because not to say that nobody was telling me like, Tamika, you need a plan B. Go ahead and get this job. But I
Right.
really felt like,
No, I don't need a plan B. This is it.
yeah, and that's what
Yeah.
I felt too. But I
Yeah.
really do feel like if it was coming, I don't know why I wasn't able to receive what they were saying at that time, but I really do feel like if I had a time machine, I just feel like young Tamika just really needed concrete advice. Like you need to read this book about saving your money and putting, you need to learn about investments. You need to learn this. You need to get this book about the music industry and learn about sync licensing, publishing, owning your masters. Here is the book. Read it. Trust me. Don't fall asleep. Read it. And then give her a big hug. And I really feel like young Tamika would have been like, I get it. Don't leave that job. I know you don't like it, but just stay there until you find another job so that, and then use this money from this job that you don't like to pour into your health insurance, your life insurance, your just a thing, just your music, everything like that. And I would tell someone who is pursuing the music industry pretty much the same thing I'm telling young Tamika. There are so many books out there. There's so many people on YouTube that actually do make sense. Not everybody makes sense, but there are some people that I will say like they do give good advice when it comes to the music industry. I would say before you want to pursue artistry, also just figure out what kind of artist you want to be. Because do you want to be a performer? Do you just want to be a songwriter? Do you just want to be an artist that just syncs music? And if you just want to be the kind of artist that just goes viral, be real with yourself. Have that real conversation and do your research. Read, 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 read. And if you have a 9-to-5 job, stay until stay there until your passions can, yes, stay
Stay,
put. I
grow,
know,
and learn. Learn as much, like, take as much info as you can from whatever job it is.
yes, even though, yeah, and trust me, I know how it feels not to like a job, but shit, stay your ass there. But what, you were gonna say something? You said,
No, I that's what I
I
was
think I
gonna
cut you
say.
off.
What I don't care if it's at the Dollar Tree or or
The Dollar
Nordstrom
Tree.
or a corporate building. So take all the information, learn about what the manager is doing, and try to like do some of the stuff that the management is doing, and then move on to another role that's better paying with something that you like in a management role, so you'll get paid more money. Like all that information.
All that energy, like suck it up, like for real, like even if it's a job that you can't stand, you're like, shit, Tamika, you don't understand. Like, I know, I do understand. I know how it feels to go to the parking lot of a job. This happened to me recently and cry and just be like, I can't do this anymore. And then you have to wipe your tears and then you have to go to work as if you didn't like boohoo cry. Okay.
Oh, God.
You just got to figure out a way. But I would say, stay, collect your coins until you find something else. And then if you are in the entertainment industry, there's a lot of remote jobs out there that you will be able to apply. You can still do your auditions, you can still pursue your passion, but at least you have the comfort of knowing this is remote. And then so you're saving money because you don't have to pour so much money into gas. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I would say. I would love to do this again. I would have to.
Yes,
This was
absolutely.
very therapeutic to me. You poured into me, like for real, like I felt like you confirmed a lot of things that I need to do right now as far as just reading more. I ain't gonna front. Some of you gotta read. And you also confirmed for me that yes, I do have a few side hustles, but if I can just not wear myself thin, and then just know that, like, and just have, like, just a better schedule for myself, because old Tamika didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And just, yeah, so this was very therapeutic for me. So I would love to do this again. I'm going to text you on the side of when we can have this conversation again, because I really do feel like this kind of conversation is so damn needed. And a lot of people are not talking like this.
No, they're not, especially in the industry, you know, like I said, I think a lot of barriers are being broken, but people are still like, it's all about image, because a lot of it is about image and how you look and how people perceive you. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are still afraid to like step outside of the normal box, whatever that may be. But yeah, this was wonderful, and I would absolutely love to do this again.
Me too. I'm gonna go ahead and text you, and I'll let I definitely would like to just talk about more subjects that I feel like it's just really important that people are really, really not talking about. So I guess maybe while we're on air, what do you think? What should be the next topic?
Oh, the next topic, I would like to talk a little bit more about entrepreneurship. Because you know you're in it. I've been in it, and I'm kind of struggling with how I want to navigate reinserting myself into the entrepreneur pool again. There's so many other things that we can talk about too. So
let's do it. All right. So the next subject that we're going to talk about is entrepreneurship. I already have a lot of things that I feel like I want to unpack when it comes to this, especially having a 9-to-5 job and pursuing entrepreneurship. I think that's also very, very real. And also just, just a lot of things that you deal with as a Black woman in the entrepreneur space. Mm. Like, that's just by that. Yeah, so I feel like this will be a great conversation. I'm excited. And so I shall see you soon. And so I'm just going to end it here. And I'll text you on the side, girl.
Okay. Thank you so much. Sending you all the love and good energy.
Thank you, boo. Same to you. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.